Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my WNBA first round recap, as well as the semifinals preview, and then blockbuster guys for the New York Knicks, Carl Anthony Towns, guys. So we'll chop that up. I'll give you my thoughts as always. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, we are in the midst of the WNBA playoffs, so a lot happening there. But some news out of the NBA, and that is the blockbuster trade with Carl Anthony Towns coming to the Knicks. I'll talk about that after I talk about the WNBA playoffs. So without any further delay, let's get into it, guys. The first round is done pretty quick, actually, my estimation. Things were handled pretty swiftly. So with that said, let's talk about each of the series. Let's start with the number one team, the New York Liberty, facing the eighth seed, the Atlanta Dream. Game one. We see the New York Liberty take it to the Atlanta Dream. And that game, the final was 83-69. That's a game where Sandy Brondello made a bold move, guys. She inserted Leonie Feebish into the starting lineup and put Courtney Vandersloot on the bench. I thought that was a bold move, guys. I really did. That's one of those moves where that can make the difference in your playoffs. Leonie Feebish, a long defender. She can go out there and hit the three. She can make so many key plays. Her IQ is very high. So I think this is a stroke of genius by Sandy Brondello. So, Feebish in the game. She finishes with 21 points, leading the Liberty in scoring, this rookie. She was 4-for-4 from three-point range. I tell you, when she gets an open three, it's like money in the bank. Also, Breonna Stewart, 20 points for her, 11 rebounds. So, she gets a double-double along with three assists. Three blocks, two steals. And then Sabrina has a nice game, 17 points, five assists, and five rebounds. And then for the Atlanta Dream side, Ryan Howard led the way, 14 points. She only shot at 5-for-14, guys. So you'd like to see more efficiency there. Tina Charles, being Tina Charles, 12 points with seven rebounds. A quiet game for Alyssa Gray in this one. But, and then the Liberty led from pillar to post at the half. They were up by 18. I think the difference for me, three-point shooting, the Liberty 8-for-23, the Dream 3-for-16. That's not going to get it done, guys. And then from the free throw line, the Liberty took advantage of their free throws, only missing one out of 18 attempts, whereas the Dream missed seven free throws out of 19. So when you have that disparity there, that's going to be the difference, guys. But the Liberty take game one. Game two, a game that I attended, guys. I was right there behind the bench, and this was a bit of a closer game. This was a tighter game, but in the end, the Liberty prevail 91-82. In that game, Sabrina goes absolutely bonkers. 36 points, guys. She hit five threes in that game. Very efficient. Sank all her free throws. and add to the 36 points, 9 assists, and 3 steals. Sabrina played absolutely out of her mind, and I loved every minute of it, guys. This is the Sabrina that the Liberty are going to need in the next round, and if they get through that, in the finals for sure. And then Jonquel Jones, 20 points for her with 13 rebounds, so she gets her a double-double with 3 assists and 2 steals. I always say, if you get a good game from Jonquel Jones, the Liberty are winning that game pretty much. That's how much she is a help for this team. And then Stewie had a bit of a rough game from shooting it from the field, but she does finish with 13 points and 6 rebounds. On the Dream side, Alyssa Gray, she woke up from her doldrums, dropped 26 points. She was very deadly from 3, guys, 5 of 8 from 3. Solid game, along with 3 rebounds and a couple of assists. Ryan Howard, she had a nice game, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. And then Tina Charles doing Tina Charles things, 14 points with 6 rebounds and 3 assists. And then Jordan Canada, who also had a quiet first game, she had 8 points, but she had 11 dimes, guys. So she was getting her teammates involved, but a little too late. As the Liberty sweep the series, your boy kind of called that one. So the Liberty advance. What's next for the Atlanta Dream? Well, they have some free agent concerns here. Cheyenne Parker, who ended up being lost for the season, guys, with an injury. She is now a free agent. Also, Ariel Powers, she'll be a free agent as well. And Tina Charles, who in her regular season finale, she did address the team and said how thankful she is to be with the team and how much respect she has for the coach over there, Tanisha Wright. So I would imagine she would re-sign. Cheyenne Parker, I'm not too sure about, especially given the injury concern there. I think Parker could be on the move. She only played in 25 games for them. She hurt her ankle back in August, about August 18th, against the Connecticut Sun, and therefore missing the rest of the season. So Cheyenne Parker could be on the move, guys. So we'll see what happens there. And then Tanisha Wright, the coach over there, is she out in terms of coaching-wise? In her 3 years there, they're only 48 and 68, guys. And they're 0-4 in playoffs. So is there a concern there as far as the coach? We'll see. But it seems like the players like her, you know. But, you know, the bottom line, this is a results business. So they want results down there in Atlanta. So we'll see what happens. So the Liberty advance. Then we move on to the 4-5 series, guys. The Las Vegas Aces versus the Seattle Storm. I thought this would be a closer series, to be honest with you guys. But, you know, the championship pedigree of the Aces was just too much in this one. So we go to game one. Game one, in a game where Seattle honestly was right there. It was right there for the taking, guys. After 3 quarters, they were up by a point on the Las Vegas Aces in Vegas. So I thought at that point they had a shot. But that 4th quarter, guys, the Aces outscored them 14-2. Unbelievable. So the Aces get the win. Asia Wilson, what more can we say about her? 21 points for her. She didn't shoot it that great from the field, but she got her 21 along with 8 rebounds. She had 5 blocks in this game, guys. So being the defensive presence that she always is, Nice game for her. Off the bench, Tiffany Hayes, 20 points for her, 4 rebounds. She had 5 steals. Guys, when they added Tiffany Hayes, I was like, the rich get richer, guys. She is a person who will show up in the playoffs. We've seen that with her most recently last year with the Connecticut Sun, how she took it to the New York Liberty. So Tina Charles, definitely an X factor for them. Chelsea Gray looking like her old self, guys. 16 points along with 7 assists. Nice game for her. And Jackie Young with a solid 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists for her. On the Seattle side, Skylar Diggins-Smith, 16 points, 8 assists, getting the team involved along with 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. Gabby Williams, who, you know, joined them when, well, after the Olympics, she was looking to join a team. She went back to the team that she knows well. 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. And Nneka Nwumike, she had a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists with 2 steals, guys. The difference in this one, guys, the 3-point shooting. Las Vegas Aces, 7 for 18. Seattle Storm, 4 of 16. Not good. And then they took the same amount pretty much of field goals, guys. But the Aces made 5 more than the Seattle Storm. Thus, the difference in the game, at least in my estimation. So that's game one. Game two, another close game, guys. But in the end, Las Vegas Aces take care of business. In this one, the final score, 83-76. In this one, Kelsey Plum goes nuts. 29 points, guys. Very thorough from the field, guys. 11 for 15, along with 6 rebounds and 3 assists for her. So Kelsey Plum, probably the smallest person out there, but taking care of business. And Asia Wilson, a double-double for her, 24 points. Much more efficient in this one, 13 rebounds and 2 blocks. And then Chelsea Gray, not efficient from the field, but a solid game across the board, 12 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. And then for the Storm, Gabby Williams led the way, 20 points for her, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Nneka Nwumike, another double-double, 16 points, 4 steals. Ezzie Magbegor, 14 points and 7 rebounds. And then you had Skylar Diggins-Smith and Jewel Lloyd, not the greatest shooting games for either one of those ladies. So, and then also, too, in this one, I think the big thing for me, your big three of Skylar Diggins-Smith, Jewel Lloyd, and Nneka Nwumike, they shot it a combined 13 for 45, guys. That's not going to get it done, especially against the Aces. So the Aces take this series in a sweep. What's next for the Seattle Storm? Well, here's your free agents, guys. Nneka Nwumike, she'll be a free agent, along with Mercedes Russell, Sammy Whitcomb, Gabby Williams, who just joined them. Now, she'll be a free agent out there, guys. She'll be a valuable piece, along with Victoria Vivens and Joyner Holmes. So the big questions is, and I mentioned this going into the series, health being the key. I don't think Jewel Lloyd was entirely healthy in this series. Even after game one, where they took the loss, she went out there and, you know, put up shots to kind of get herself in the rhythm for the next game. Kind of to no avail because she shot it 3 for 11. But I don't think she was entirely healthy in this series. So I think that's a factor. And then if you're the Seattle Storm, are you looking to rebuild or to reload? I think that's a big question. You had a nice season. Noel Quinn, the coach over there, did a fine job with this squad. Do you run it back with the same squad and let the chips fall where they may and hope that there's some slippage over there in Las Vegas and perhaps with Minnesota? You could do that. I say run it back. I say run it back, bring back the same squad. If you can get Gabby Williams, although in her press conference, she did say, you got to pay me now. You know my skill set. You got to pay me. So not sure if they'll be able to retain her, but I say you run it back with the three and let the chips fall where they may. So we'll see what happens. Anyhow, moving on, we will look at the semis, the preview of the semis, guys. It's going to be the number one team, the New York Liberty, taking on the Las Vegas Aces. Now, remember, guys, this was the finals in the WNBA last year, so they're meeting now in the semifinals. In the season series, the Liberty won 3-0. So they were able to take care of business against the Aces. And one of those games where Aja Wilson did not play. And actually, that was a close game. That was a game I attended, by the way. So your matchups in this series, Aja Wilson versus, I think it'll be a steady diet of Stewie, a steady diet of Jonquel Jones, Kennedy Burke coming off the bench. So they'll have some bigs to throw at Aja to kind of slow her down. So we'll see if they'll be able to keep her at bay. Kelsey Plum versus Sabrina. I think that's the matchup here to watch. I think if either lady for their squads is able to have a fine series, I think that bodes well for the team as a whole. I think this is the matchup I'll be looking at. I think if I know Sandy Brondello, she's probably going to put Leonie Feebish on Chelsea Gray to kind of slow her down as far as her being the floor general there. I think that's the move that I like to see. Jackie Young versus Queen Bee, Banaji Laney Hamilton. That should be a nice, fun matchup between those two ladies there. And then the bench, guys. I think the bench will play a big factor in this series. I talked about the exploits of Tiffany Hayes and how she's doing well for them. Alicia Clark, a pro's pro, guys. You know what she gives you. She gives you defense. She's able to knock down the threes. So I think that's a matchup that, as far as the bench goes, the Aces solid bench there versus the bench for the Liberty. Right now you have Courtney Vandersloot coming off your bench, so she's assisting that unit, as well as Kayla Thornton, a fine player coming off your bench as well. I talked about Kennedy Burke, so I think the bench will play a factor in this series. I think there's no mistake about that, so we'll see what happens. The big question, can the New York Liberty slay the dragon? Can they slay their rival, the Las Vegas Aces? That's a huge question for them. Your dynamic duo of Stewie and Sabrina has to show up in this series. I think there's no debating that. They must have fine series. And Chelsea Gray looking like her old self. So if you get glimpses of the old Chelsea Gray, that makes the Aces tough to beat, guys. And then the Liberty, you know they're the top team in scoring, the top team in rebounds. They must win the rebounding battle against the aces. And when you get the rebounds, especially the offensive ones, that leads to second chance points. That's a must for the Liberty. So with that said, my prediction, I'm going to say the Liberty in five. I'm going to say this series goes the distance. And in the end, the Liberty will prevail. They will shake off the demons. They will advance and go to the WNBA Finals, which, you know, they'll be going back to back. So I'm picking the Liberty in five, guys. It's going to be a monumental task to defeat this Aces team, but I think the Liberty can do it. I think they're poised to make that move and to get into the finals. All right, with that said, let's move on. The number two team in the W, the Minnesota Lynx versus the 7 seed, the Phoenix Mercury. And we know what was at stake, guys. Deanna Taurasi, is this her final go around? You know, that was hovering over the series, if you will. So, game one in Minnesota. Minnesota takes that 102-95, guys. And in that game, Nafisha Collier, you're going to hear me mention her name a lot in this series, guys. Game one, 38 points. Absolutely kills it from the field and from the charity stripe as well, along with 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Kayla McBride, her fellow all-star there, 20 points for her, along with 4 assists, 3 rebounds. And Bridget Carlton, 14 points for her with 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. And then for the Phoenix Mercury, Natasha Cloud, 33 points. Guys, when it comes to Natasha Cloud, she's going to show up for the playoffs. And boy, did she with the 33 points there. 10 assists as well, so she has the double-double along with 6 rebounds. Deanna Taurasi finishes with 21 points. Not bad for a 40-year-old, along with the shooting it fine from the field and from the from three-point range. And then Kalia Copper with 16 points adding to the mix, but not enough to overtake the Minnesota Lynx. The big one for me, guys, Nafisha Collier, 13 for 14 from the free throw line. The Phoenix Mercury as a team, 7 for 11. So when you have disparity like that, that bodes well for the Lynx. So game one goes to the Minnesota Lynx. And then game two, as if you think Nafisha Collier can't top what she did in game one, she does it in game two, guys. 42 points to lead the Lynx to a 101-88 victory, guys. Very efficient from the field, guys. Of her 20 shots, she only missed 6. And again, at the free throw line, she had a parade going there as well. Add to that 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. Absolutely stellar series for Nafisha Collier. Kayla McBride, another solid game, 15 points with 4 assists. And then your combination of Bridget Carlton and Alana Smith, 12 points apiece, guys. And for the Mercury, Brittany Griner, she has a better game than she had in game one here. 24 points, very efficient. 5 rebounds, 2 blocks. Natasha Cloud, 16 points for her with 10 assists. So another double-double for her with 5 rebounds. And then Kalia Copper, 13 points and 5 rebounds. Not enough, guys. Not enough. And again, the free throw disparity. Lafie Chikaya, 14 attempts. She missed two shots only. And for the Phoenix Mercury, as a team, 14 attempts. And they made only 10. So, again, when it's like that, there's not much hope, guys. And then things got a little spicy, if you will, in this game. Sophie Cunningham, you know her, guys. She has a history of kind of above the board kind of fouls. So she has a hard foul on Bridget Carlton as she's going in. One hand, Sophie's going for the ball. The other one is draped around her shoulder, kind of pulling her down. So, of course, that ends up being a flagrant. But to her aid, Courtney Williams, the floor general for the Lynx, was not having it. Got up in Sophie's face. And, you know, Sophie, she'll wave it off. But, when you see stuff like that and you see your team come to your aid in those instances, that goes a long way for team chemistry, team camaraderie. So big ups to Courtney Williams for standing up for her player, getting that kind of hard foul done on her. So Minnesota takes this series, guys. What's next for the Phoenix Mercury? Their free agents, Diana Taurasi, as well as Brittany Griner, Monique Billings, Natasha Mack, who will be a exclusive restricted free agent. So the Mercury have an ability to bring her back. So we'll see. The big question, Diana Taurasi, did we see her last game as a Phoenix Mercury player? Or as a player in general, that is. Don't know. It's up in the air, guys. I think she comes back for one more go around. I think she announces that she'll do the final tour thing. She'll get her flowers and so forth. I think she's going to come back for one more year. As far as Brittany Griner, I think they're going to make a decision between Griner and Mack. I would be surprised to see Brittany on the move. Where would she go? There's a lot of different places she could go. So could she end up in a place like Washington, who could probably use her, perhaps? Could she end up? There's a few places she can end up. So Brittany Griner being on the move is possible. So we'll see. But all in all, not a bad season for the Mercury. Not a bad season at all. So we'll see what they're able to do. You'll still have players like Natasha Cloud and Kalia Copper in the mix. So a piece here and there, you can move up in the standings perhaps. And then the series that seems like the whole world was watching, guys, the Connecticut Sun versus the Indiana Fever, the Sun being the 3 seed and the surging Indiana Fever being the 6 seed. Game one, not much of a contest here. All the games in Connecticut, by the way, let's get that out the way. So Connecticut Sun take it in a blowout, 93-69, a game where you saw Marina Marbury come off the bench, guys, setting a record, 27 points off the bench, which is a playoff record for her, along with 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Dawana Bonner, a nice game, a nice two-way game, guys, because she also had the assignment of also guarding at times Caitlin Clark. So 22 points for her. Very efficient from the field and from the free throw line and from three, along with 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks. Alyssa Thomas, with a playoff triple-double, 12 points, 13 assists, 10 rebounds, and then DeJounay Carrington with a solid game, 14 points for her. On the Indiana side, Kelsey Mitchell leads the way, guys. She has 21 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Aaliyah Boston, 17 points for her, 11 rebounds, so a double-double for her, along with 3 assists, 2 blocks. Caitlin Clark, absolutely hard from the field, 11 points total, 4 for 17 from the field, 8 assists, along with 4 rebounds, 3 steals. And the big thing for me was between Kelsey Mitchell and Caitlin Clark, 4 of 23 from 3-point range. Good grief. So that's, you know, that's a huge disparity, guys. So you like to see better numbers than that. But in the end, Connecticut Sun gets the win. And also in this game, on one of the plays, DeJounay was guarding Caitlin Clark, accidentally pokes her in the eye, thus having this kind of black eye there. And of course, you know, the disgusting part of the fan base for Caitlin Clark had all these disparaging things to say on social media. Then you had people on TV and the media irresponsibly saying that DeJounay stabbed her in the eye. That is absolutely horrible to even imply that. It was a basketball play. And even so much so that a Christine Brennan, a once respected journalist, goes to DeJounay Carrington and asks her about the play. DeJounay says it's a basketball play, but Christine Brennan would go on to say, but you and Marina Marbury were laughing about it. He said, how can I laugh about something that I didn't, you know, why would I laugh about something like that, basically? So kind of trying to bait her into this nonsensical narrative. So much so, guys, let me read to you what the WBPA, the Players Union, said about that. I want to read that for you guys. Hang on 1 second. Yes, here it is. A message on behalf of the 144, which is all the players in the league. This week was dedicated to celebrating and amplifying Asia, Caitlin, DeJounay, and Nafisha for their hard work and truly exceptional performances all season long. We were not going to distract from their successes, nor would we dim the glow of the spotlight that centered them. They have earned their focus and celebration. But we take this moment now to stand up for them and the rest of our members, every single one of them, because we call BS. Hold on 1 moment. Of course, people are trying to call me while I'm doing my episode. All right, so here's the rest of it. To the unprofessional members of the media like Christine Brennan, you are not fooling anyone. That so-called interview in the name of journalism was a blatant attempt to bait a professional athlete into participating in a narrative that is false and designed to fuel racist, homophobic, and misogynistic vitriol on social media. You cannot hide behind your tenure. Instead of demonstrating the cornerstones of journalism ethics, like integrity, objectivity, and a fundamental commitment to truth, you have chosen to be indecent and downright insincere. You have abused your privileges and do not deserve the credentials issued to you. And you certainly are not entitled to any interviews with the members of this union or any other athlete in sport. Those credentials mean you can ask anything, but they also mean that you should know the difference between what you should and should not ask. We see you. Our relationship with the media is a delicate one that we will continue to strengthen because the media is essential to growing the sport. No one knows that better than we do, but the players are entitled to better. They are entitled to professionalism. We call on USA Today Network to review its principles of ethical conduct for newsrooms and address what we believe is a violation of several core principles, including seeking and reporting the truth. USA Today Sports should explain why a reporter with a clear bias and ulterior motives was assigned to cover the league. We also urge the league to review its policies and to take measures to prevent such issues, protecting the integrity of the game and its players. And this is from the executive director, Terry Carmichael Jackson. I agree with every single word that lady said. Christine Brenner, you should be ashamed of yourself trying to spark up something that isn't there. It was said by Dejanay Carrington. It was said by Caitlin Clark, not only after the game, but also in the following, just before the game two, that it was a basketball play. So both players involved told you it was a basketball player. It was a basketball play, but yet you still want to go with this narrative, and then you're going to say that her, Dejanay, and Marina were snickering about it. Come on, that is just, but you know what it is, guys, and this is why I found out Christine Brennan is working on a book, and that book is about Caitlin Clark. So, you know, in the book, she's going to have all the mean girl narratives in that book. She's going to have it all in there. It's going to be salacious. It's going to be something that, you know, the rabid, delusional part of Caitlin's fan base is going to eat it up like it's mama's leftovers. So shame on you, Christine Brennan. You've been in the game as far as journalism long enough not to indulge in this sort of behavior. So yeah, no good for you on that. So that's what I'm going to say with that. So with that said, let's go to game two, another game, a little chippy there. You saw in the beginning, Caitlin Clark and Dawana Bonner going at it. You know, it was felt that when she was being guarded on a 3-point shot, you know, the closeout rules that they have in the NBA. Dawana Bonner was kind of close, didn't afford her to land. So there was chippiness about that. So much so they did a little pushing of each other, a little jawing back and forth. So you had that. But nonetheless, the Connecticut Sun prevail in a close game. Very nip and tuck, guys. But they end up winning. Game that was pretty much tied down the stretch, but Connecticut prevailed 87-81. In that game, Alyssa Thomas, I'll talk about her in a few minutes, 19 points, very solid game for her, 13 assists, 5 rebounds. Marina Marbury, still doing her thing, guys, 17 points in this one along with 6 assists. Dawana Bonner, 15 points for her. And Dejanay Carrington, and off the bench, Veronica Burton, 10 points apiece. For the Fever, Caitlin has a better game, guys, 25 points. Still erratic from three. She was 3 for 12 from three, guys. Did have 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Kelsey Mitchell, 17 points for her. Add to that 3 assists, 3 rebounds. Aaliyah Boston, another solid double-double, 14 points along with 19 rebounds, guys. 3 assists, 2 blocks. But the difference, turnovers, guys. Indiana had 13, Connecticut 7. So with that said, guys, the Connecticut Sun takes this series, guys. And as far as the Fever going forward, their free agents, Kelsey Mitchell, along with Erica Wheeler and Timi Vagnani, also a free agent, but she's restricted. So there's chances she can come back. Big question, Kelsey Mitchell, guys, a key component to what they did this season. And one of their leading scorers, will she come back? I think that's a big question, guys, and one that only she can answer. She sounds like she's willing to come back at the right price. We'll see. Erica Wheeler, who I thought was a help in that locker room, she made herself available to Caitlin Clark as far as a veteran taking her under her wing. So what happens with Erica Wheeler? That bears watching. And Nelissa Smith, guys, I think this is a player who is probably on the move. She only played 13 minutes in this entire series, guys, 0 points. I think, and I'm maybe speculating, but I'll tell you what as a outsider looking in, I think things soured with her as far as the team goes when they played the Connecticut Sun, not even in this series, like during the regular season, late in the season, where there was kind of like a, not a melee, but kind of, drawing back and forth and between Dejanay and one of the Fever players and Nelissa Smith, who I think most of us who follow the league knows her and Dejanay Carrington was an item. So, the couple. And Nelissa Smith grabbed the Indiana player kind of like, in a kind of don't mess with my girl sort of thing. So I think with that, the locker room kind of soured on her in that regard. I mean, you can't not play her at all, but I think in this series here, 13 minutes for a player of her caliber, I think that's a disservice to your squad. So I think Nelissa Smith is on the move. Where she goes, not too sure of that, but I say this. I talked in the last episode about Shakira Austin, who very talented player. It's just that she can't stay on the court because of injury. If I'm the Indiana Fever, maybe I'm doing a swap. Nelissa Smith for a Shakira Austin. So I'm just putting it out there. We'll see. But I think she's on the move. Now, what I wanted to get to, guys, was the press conference by Alyssa Thomas. Alyssa Thomas, guys, she is one of those players who, and I heard them talk about it on First Take, Stephen A. there with Shanae Awumake, Necker's sister, who's now in the media now. She covers all things as far as college basketball and WNBA. And she gave us a little insight because she was drafted by the Connecticut Sun. She shared a lot, not only a locker room, but she shared a room with Alyssa Thomas as she was in the league. So, they were very close. So she said, and something I noticed from afar, Alyssa Thomas is not one to call attention to herself. She's one who go in there, put her head down and get the job done. That's why they call her the engine, guys. And it's funny because her on-court personality, her being the tough player, sometimes going over the edge with physicality, but that's nothing like how she is off the court. She's soft-spoken, very, like, shy even. For her to get in a press conference and say the things that she had to say caught my attention, guys. And I'm going to play for you what she said in that press conference. Here we go.
Honestly, it's been a lot of nonsense. I think in my 11-year career, I've never experienced the racial comments from the Indiana Fever fan base. You know, we had her face on a serious matter that happened in this world, and it's unacceptable, honestly. And yeah, there's no place for it. And we've been professional throughout the whole entire thing, but I've never been called the things that I've been called on social media, and there's no place for it. Honestly, it's been, and you know, basketball is headed in a great direction, but we don't want fans that are going to degrade us and call us racial names. I mean, we already see what's happening in the world and what we have to deal with in that aspect. And, you know, we come to play basketball for our job and it's fun, but we don't want to go to work every day and have social media blown up over things like that. It's uncalled for, and something needs to be done, whether it's, you know, them checking their fans or this league checking. There's no time for it anymore. And, you know, basketball is headed.
Okay. So that's what Alyssa Thomas had to say in the press conference. Again, I concur 100%. And I'm going to say this with my full chest for you punks, for you weak weasels who go on social media and target these ladies with your racial nonsense and crap. There's no place for it. You're punks. You would never say that stuff to their face. You are weak. You are weak. And I'm saying that with my full chest. Come see me if you don't like it. Come see me. That's what I'm going to say on that. And also, you have Caitlin Clark, who she spoke about it. She spoke about these things. And I want you to hear what she had to say. This is Caitlin Clark addressing the issue that was raised by Alyssa Thomas. And also her coach, Christy Sides, spoke out about it as well, guys. So take a listen to what Caitlin Clark has to say in terms of this issue.
Yeah, it's definitely upsetting. I don't think there's nobody in our league should be facing any sort of racism, hurtful, disrespectful, hateful comments and threats. You know, those aren't fans, those are trolls, and it's a real disservice to the people in our league, the organization, the WNBA. But there are a lot of really good fans, whether they've been fans for 20 plus years or whether they're new fans in our league. I think continuing to uplift this league in a very positive light is the best thing that we can do, because there are so many great players. There's so many great teams. There are so many positive storylines that can be written and celebrated. And for me, that's why I became a fan of this league, is these people were my idols. I grew up wanting to be like them. So I think continuing to uplift and, you know, represent this league in a positive way is the best thing we can do.
To encourage.
Yeah, it's definitely upsetting.
So that's what Caitlin Clark had to say. Again, it's probably exasperating for her, to be honest with you, to have to address these sort of things. Caitlin Clark, she's a basketball player who's had to play with many different types of race and genders and so forth, many different types of race, and she's had no issues. You have these fans, these abhorrent fans, who now see her as a beacon for them to spew their nonsense, their racism, their hate. She is nothing like how these fans are. Nothing like it. And for you to cling to her to use that as a catalyst for your hateful speech, again, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And she talked about it too. And I think also the media, you got to put that at the foot of the media, because instead of these nice storylines that are within the WNBA, we go to the catty stuff. We lead off with First Take and these kind of shows with that stuff instead of the substance on the court. That is the problem, guys. And that's what is disgusting. The fact that, you know, and then a lot of these people, the whole thing is too, you just come on board to cover this league because of Caitlin Clark, which is a good thing if you able to keep it within the boundaries of basketball. But you don't do that. You start the mean girl narratives. Not the entire league hates her. You may have a handful of people who feel a way about her, but overall, that's not the feeling at all in the league. You get people like Charles Barkley. You get people, my guy, Shannon Sharp. You get these people saying the stuff, you know, continuing this jealous girl, this mean girl narrative, which just is not true, guys. Just is not true. So I put some of the blame at the foot of the media. If you covered this team, you covered this league honestly, cover the league honestly for what's going on the court, then you'll have credibility. But no, you want to make it about this, about that, hip checks and all kind of stuff, which happen in the NBA all the time, guys. So I don't even know what we're even talking about here. But you want to make it everything else but the game. That's the problem. So with that said, again, I applaud Caitlin Clark. Again, her media people, I suggest people in politics hire these people, because they always have her saying the right thing, making the right moves. And, you know, I battled somebody on social media talking about, oh, she should leave the WNBA and go play in another league. Whatever league she going to play in? Whatever league on U.S. soil is she going to play basketball in and be able to have the eyeballs on her? And whatever league is there? The WNBA is it. This is why people from foreign countries come to play in this league. Oh, I just had it with some of these people on social media I got to battle with. But this is a league she grew up dreaming of playing in. And now she's living her dream and she has to deal with all this extracurricular nonsense. It's appalling. So, you know, I'm just going to end it there. But I applaud Caitlin for addressing the issue. And some people like, oh, it's about time. Enough, enough. She addressed it. I don't care when she addressed it. She addressed it, and that's the most important thing. So kudos to Caitlin. Kudos to Alyssa Thomas for pointing this thing out. And, you know, we've seen it with Angel Reese, how she's had to deal with the venom. Ever since she did the You Can't See Me in that championship game, she's had to deal with that. So there's no place for racism in any manner, guys, in any manner. Pointed towards a player. And I don't care what type of player. It's wrong. It's disgusting. And it needs to stop. I'll just leave it there. All right, guys. So the last thing I want to talk about is, I know I was supposed to get to the Knicks stuff, but I do have to pick a winner in the next series. So Minnesota Lynx versus the Connecticut Sun. And in the season series, Connecticut took it 2-1 with the Lynx winning actually after the Olympic break. So it seemed like the Lynx were catching their stride now. The matchups, I think it's going to be LaFisha Collier versus Alyssa Thomas. I think that's the one you'll probably see more likely than not. You may see a Dawana Bonner slide over to her. You may see a Dejanay Carrington slide as well. but they have to neutralize Nafisha Collier in this series. Kayla McBride versus Dejanay Carrington. I think that'll be an interesting matchup there with those two ladies, especially how Kayla likes to, you know, knock it down from deep. And Dejanay, you know, she's two-way player now. So that'll be an interesting matchup. Alana Smith versus Brianna Jones. I think this is one that flies under the radar, guys. You didn't see too much of Brianna Jones in this series here with the Indiana Fever. I think it's imperative for her to show up in this series against the Lynx. Bridget Carlton against Dawana Bonner. I think that's a nice little matchup as well. And I think the key pieces for each team, Courtney Williams for the Lynx side, her ability to distribute and get everyone involved, I think that's going to be important. And Marina Marbury, there's the secret weapon for the Sun. I think what she does in this series is of absolute importance, guys. So you have Minnesota's high-powered offense, an offense that, by the way, in the series there, over 100 points in both games. So I don't think you'll see that in this series. Connecticut has a stingy defense. So my prediction, there's something happening with the Lynx, guys. Something special happening with them. I'm picking them in five games, guys. It's going to be a tough series. I think it's going to be much like the Liberty Aces series. It's going to be tough, but I think Minnesota prevails in five. And then also, guys, look at the coaches in each of these series. You have Sandy Brondello versus Becky Hammon in the New York Vegas series. And then you have Cheryl Reeve, who I think will end up being Coach of the Year, versus last year's Coach of the Year, Stephanie White. So absolutely big matchups as far as the coaches, at least. So that is that for that. All right, so that's your prediction, guys. A couple of other things before we wind up here, because I see I'm running late. Kurt Miller out as the Los Angeles Sparks coach after two seasons. It's a mutual parting, guys, of ways. So there was mutual parting there. I think it's kind of unfair to him. They had him on the brink of the playoffs last season as a ninth seed, barely getting squeezed out of the playoffs. And then this year, you end up losing Cameron Brink with a ACL. She's out. Lexi Brown, she's been out with injury as well. Azura Stevens, she was out for a while with injury. She came back the latter part of the season. And then also add to that, guys, the fact that you lose two key pieces. Nneka Nwumike, she goes to Seattle. And then you have Jordan Canada, their floor general. She ends up with the Dream. So I didn't think it was a fair assessment of Kurt Muller. So we'll see what happens with him. And then this news just came down. Teresa Weatherspoon out as the Chicago Sky coach after one season, guys, where she had her team on the brink of the playoff. But she's out. From what I heard, a lot of disparaging rhetoric was said by a couple of the players in their exit interviews. I don't think that bode well for Teresa, unfortunately. I don't think one season you can assess a person, but and then remember, Teresa Weatherspoon came from, she was an assistant coach with the New Orleans Pelicans. So she left that to come to the WNBA to coach one season. No, that's not making it. So, and I actually have, I'll read this one last thing and then I'll be done, guys. This is what De'Erica Hamby had to say about Kurt Miller. To Kurt Miller, I'm truly thankful for our relationship, and I think that showed. You always had my back on all levels that some people would never see. I wish we could have had more time, as we've seen what you're capable of. Build is still the belief, and you started that. Love you always. That's from De'Erica Hamby of the Los Angeles Sparks. So she's feeling the loss of him. And then this is what Angel Reese had to say in terms of Teresa Weatherspoon. I'm heartbroken. I'm literally lost for words knowing what this woman meant to me in such a pivotal point in my life. She was the only person that believed in me, the one that trusted me. Many don't even know what it's like to be a Black woman in sports when nobody believes in you. You had a tough job. All the crazy circumstances that we went through this year, and when your back was against the wall, you always believed. I came to Chicago because of you. You were an unsung hero in my life. We built a relationship in a short amount of time that will last forever. I never questioned God why he brings people in my life and takes them away from me in the capacity that I need them. But I always believed everyone is in your life for a reason and a season. You were the best reason and season. You didn't deserve this, but I can't thank you enough. Love you, Teaspoon. And that is from Angel Reese. And also Trinity Carter had some things to say as well as far as her support of Teresa Weatherspoon. Remember, guys, Trinity Carter was out of the league at one point. Chicago took her on and she flourished there, guys. So you had some players that loved her, some players not so much. I don't know. I don't understand how the players with more stature who loved her wasn't able to get her to stay as opposed to these other ones, both of which were free agents, by the way, but I'll leave that there. But unfortunately, both coaches out, Kurt Muller and Teresa Weatherspoon, we wish both of them well in their future endeavors. All right, guys, so that's it. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. Also, guys, you can get to me via, well, I have my YouTube channel where you'll find my videos there, all podcast platforms. I have buttons on my website. You can get to them that way as well. Also, support buttons, guys, are there. Buy me a coffee. Also, my Spotify donate button is there. My PayPal button is there. Support the show, guys. All this great content, support it. And then also, my Cash App, although I hear Cash App is kind of wonky right now, but I'll give it to you anyway. $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude is the place you can get my Cash App and you can, you know, hit your boy up with funds there. Social media, I'm all over the place, guys. Well, more so Instagram, TikTok, more that than Facebook and Twitter. Of course, you know how I feel about Twitter. So LinkedIn, I also post there as well. All right, guys, so that's it for me. I thank you for listening. I know I'm supposed to get to the next stuff. I'll just do it another episode. All right, guys, thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is what keeps me going, guys. So thank you. Appreciate it. All right, take care.